Lord, thank you for your word. We pray you bless it, anoint it, and make it alive to us, and pray we would receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we covered verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You see, first of all, we need to realize, as we covered before, these verses are for born-again Christians, for those that are born again. Instruction on how to live as God's child. We learned God has a plan for each one of us. Have you been praying for God to get his plan in your life done, his will done? He has a will for our life, and we don't want to miss out on God's will for us. You know, I want that abundant life that Jesus has for me. I don't want to miss out on it. I want the best. And we need to be open and flexible. And we're instructed in verse 17, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We covered some of those things the last time. How to understand the will of the Lord, be close to him, be in fellowship, studying the word of God, yielding to him. And we learned in verse 11, don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We shouldn't be in fellowship with the world and sin. Get out of there. And in 16 we read, redeem the time because the days are evil. We need to use every second wisely. Every second wisely. You know, people ask once in a while, what if you knew you were going to die tomorrow? Would you change anything today? Well, if you would, then change anyway. You don't know when the Lord's coming back for the church. You see, redeem the time. The days are evil. Every second. You know, as we studied, we have a limited number of minutes while here on this earth. You've lost a lot this week. You've used a lot already this week. A limited number of minutes that God has for me. We don't want to waste our life away. Wisdom tells us to invest our time and resource for the Lord. Something that is lasting and not temporary. Something bigger we're living for. Bigger than we can see. If you're living just for here, I feel sorry for you. You're going to be depressed at the end of your life. We're living for something bigger. I'm looking for a bigger house. It's actually called a mansion. I'm looking for bigger things, better worship, better teaching, better fellowship. We're living a bigger life for the Lord. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Luke chapter 12. Verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, to Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So apparently this guy's brother died. And he says, hey, Jesus, hey, do you know how much infighting there is when someone dies? Maybe you've experienced and you're saying, amen. That's the first thing everybody looks at. The money. Sad, but that's it. Seen it happen a lot. No different back then. Hey, Jesus, tell my brother to divide that inheritance. He got it all. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? I'm not in charge of the will. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. He says, you're covetous. You want the money. You want the stuff. You're coming to me. You haven't been listening. I'm talking about a better place. You're still concerned about here. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Man, I'm doing well since I have no room to store my crops. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And then serve the Lord or help out all the poor. No. I don't know. Maybe the New Living Expository English Bible says that, but mine says, I say to you, he says, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will those things be which you have provided? So as he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He says, you fool, you don't get it. You want to fight over money? Over the inheritance? What he's teaching them is, I'll take care of you. Seek me first and my righteousness, and I will add all these other things unto you. That's what Jesus said. You don't have to fight over that. If they want to take it all, let them take it all. I'll take care of you. Anything else is covetousness. It means I'm not trusting the Lord to take care of me. So I've got to go get it. Wisdom tells us, as Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven. That's God's will. Use blessings to bless. Life isn't about here. So if we do this, we will be in God's will. Seek him first. And now, know this, the biggest action that you and I can do to be wise is to pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom in your decisions, your life, your money, your possessions, your job, your home, your children, your parents, everything in life. Pray. Pray so that you achieve God's will. You don't have to follow the crowd. You don't have to do what other people tell you. Follow Jesus. Pray. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, or he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If you lack wisdom, pray. And as we've gone over wisdom, sometimes you pray for wisdom, God gives you wisdom, but we don't accept it because it's not what we wanted. But it's wisdom. You see? We can't say, well, God didn't answer me. No, he answered you. But that's not what I wanted. Right, but it's wisdom. That's a tough one, isn't it? We'd rather say, I'm not getting wisdom. Or God's not answering my prayer. And God's saying, no, Jim, don't say that. I said, if you pray, I'll give you wisdom. Don't doubt it. And we're going to see more on this in next verses covering understanding God's will. We continue in Ephesians. But in a nutshell, the whole thing in this chapter, this book about being in the center of God's will, is to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus, and he will teach you to pray. That's the whole thing that he's covering. Be under the influence of the Holy Spirit who dwells in the believer. In John 16, verse 13, let's turn there, please. John 16, verse 13. Jesus said, however, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into what? All truth. You can't have more than all truth. The Holy Spirit who dwells in you will guide you into all truth. He will guide your life. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. You want to know what the will of the Lord is? Yield to the Holy Spirit. Pray. You know, if the Holy Spirit guides our life, we will be in the will of God. Walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. We want to be in a spiritual place. We don't want to be in an emotional place, a fleshly place in this life. In order to hear God and understand his will, we need to be in a spiritual place. We have to have that station tuned right on that frequency of the Holy Spirit. If we get off track to the left, it's oldies. Turn to the right, it's rap music. But if it's turned right on, it's the Holy Spirit. And you'll hear his voice. Be wise. Time here is short. While we're sitting here, we've wasted some minutes. Not wasted, no. This morning we're using the minutes, but they've gone. Proverbs verse 8, if you'd like to turn, chapter 8, if you'd like to turn there, Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8, verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. We've gone over that before. We have to know that. There's nothing that you desire that could be greater than wisdom. Even if you got it, it's not greater than wisdom. Wisdom keeps us in the will of God. Maybe all of us look back at our life and say, oh, I wish I could live it over. I wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't do that, and I'd avoided a lot of aggravation. Well, start today and pray for wisdom, and don't waste another minute. Walk with the Lord. Else one day you're going to be sorry you didn't. Bear Bryant, who used to coach Alabama in football, was one of the greatest football coaches there ever was. This guy won all the time. And they asked him on his deathbed, when you look back, what is it that you regret or that you would have desired? He says, I wish I would have served the Lord more. And he had everything. You know, and you can talk to a lot of people in their field, and when they get on their deathbed, the story changes a little bit about what they would have done. But it's too late. You could be the most successful man or woman in the world. As he said, like this man, he says, I'm just going to build more barns, store them, take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry, and just party the rest of my life. And he says, fool, you're not rich in heaven. You know what we are? We're a funnel for the Lord. What he pours in, we give out. That's what we do. Our time, our love, what we have, whatever it is, we just give ourselves over to the Lord. That's what real life is. I don't know about you, but it's such a blessing to give. It's just great when God allows you to do that. Minister to people. So back to our text, verse 17. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be foolish. Don't be unwise. Understand his will. Let's turn to Philippians 4, verse 8, please. Next book, Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate means keep your mind on. Go over it, the things that are good and holy, the things of the Lord, good report, virtue, just, pure. You know, we can get our mind on this world and it can destroy us. Meditate on those things. Maybe last night you had a hard time sleeping. and you couldn't fall back asleep? Did you apply this scripture, start thinking about something of the Lord? Do that. Colossians 3, move ahead to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. How often do we set our mind on things of the earth and it troubles us, keeps us awake, causes stress and worry? Things of the earth will do that. He says, set your mind on things above. That means it's our job to set, to discipline ourselves, to meditate and think on things above. In other words, we're above the things of this earth. We're already positionally in heaven. We have the Lord. We have His blessings in our life. And that's what we should think on. Do you notice the mind, the brain, they call it the brain, is really what directs our lives? Did you notice that? My hand doesn't. My foot doesn't. My brain directs them. My thoughts, everything is directed from up here. It directs our life. That's why there's so much of that in Scripture, to keep our mind on things above. That makes your day or breaks your day. Your mind. Fill it with things of the Lord. Quote Scripture when you're in trouble. All the time, actually. If we keep our mind and our brain on the things of the flesh and the things of this world, we will live according to the world and be out of God's will. But if we set our mind on the things above and the things of God, we will live accordingly. We'll live for the Lord. We can't let our mind defeat us. We must discipline ourselves to think on things above. A bigger life, a better life. Keep our brain focused and controlled by the things of the Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit bring up Scripture to you. You know, a lot of times we just want to feel sorry for ourselves, so we meditate on the things of the world because I want a pity party. And so, well, no, I don't want to think on things above. I like it right where I am. My blanket in the corner and just pouting and feeling bad. God says, no. And we're not saying you don't go through very difficult things. We do. But we need to set our mind on things above. Have victory over. Satan must hate it when we do that. Because he thinks he's got us in the corner. Going to give us the knockout blow. And we say, praise the Lord. I'm clean. I'm going to heaven. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And all these scriptures, he would say, oh, I lost again. There they go, thinking on the Lord, on Scripture. We need, but you see, it doesn't come naturally because there's this war in us. We need to set it. We need to discipline ourselves so that we do these things. You know, some people think God's just going to do everything for you. There's our part. That's set your mind on things above. Hey, I'm just going to sit back, take my ease, because God's going to feed me. Well, you're going to starve. Sit in that living room, and you're going to starve after a few days. He says, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's what the Lord says in the Bible. So we need to do what God is, what is the will of the Lord, according to Scripture. Do the things that he tells us to do, and set your mind on things above, and we'll understand what the Lord is, what the Lord wants. And it fits right into our next scripture, verse 19, or verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or harm, but be filled with the Spirit. We want to be filled with the Spirit. Don't get wasted and waste minutes. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The Bible does not condemn the use of wine, but it definitely condemns its misuse and drunkenness, which is sin. We've read scriptures which says those people that live in that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because you're then not focused on things above. You're not led by, you're not influenced by the Holy Spirit, but by that drug or alcohol. It's very simple. It does condemn the misuse and drunkenness. We read that. Too much alcohol puts one under its influence. I have Jesus, I have the Holy Spirit in me. I don't want to be under the influence of any drug or alcohol. What if God brought you before someone where you were and they says, hey, what do I have to do to receive eternal life? And you were in that state. You'd be a loser. Wouldn't be able to share it. The mind influences us. When you dull the mind, when your mind is, why do they call them mind controlling drugs? You know, when your mind is controlled by something else, it's not by the Holy Spirit. People do a lot of horrible things when they're under the influence. We probably could all say amen. We all weren't Christians all the time. You know, everybody knows what happens when you're under that influence. People get brave and do stupid things when they're drunk. And they definitely would not be redeeming the time here. Under the influence of anything other than the Holy Spirit would make it impossible to know what the will of the Lord is. And that's why he's telling us this. I want to be able to speak to you and guide you. Don't be influenced by anything else. One would be living outside of God's will. See, when one is drunk, they talk and act foolishly. They aren't thinking right and oftentimes make horrible, life-changing decisions. The biggest killer, drunk driving. Children, babies, moms, dads are killed by drunk drivers. We worry about wars and being attacked and terrorism. Eliminate all of that more by drunk drivers. Why don't we attack that? That's a killer. You've seen families, we've seen families torn apart, losing the husband, losing the wife, losing a baby because of drunk drivers. It's a killer. God says, don't do it. If you care about other people, don't do it. Don't be under that influence. You know, one becomes dull. They quench the Spirit, grieve the Holy Spirit, and you can't achieve God's purposes. You can't. Romans 13, please. Romans 13, verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, but in strife, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. That's the way we're to live throughout the Bible. We're getting to be a very liberal society. And liberalism means more self-centeredness, not concerned with other people, but yourself. A person wants to do something, they do it with no concern for other people. And innocent people die. Verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or harm, but be filled with the Spirit. It's one or the other. Controlled by the Holy Spirit, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that is God's will, to keep your brain alert. Mind controlled by God, not by other things. I think we can all see this. See, we Christians need to be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and influenced by God and not influenced by something else to know God's will. We need to hear the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit. When saved, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. here it says be filled with the Spirit. What this means is to be occupied or controlled by the Holy Spirit. You're occupied or controlled by the Holy Spirit. That daily, hourly filling of the Holy Spirit. It's in the present tense. It means be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled to overflowing. So we can do the right thing and be a blessing to others and to God. Keep on being filled. So we're full of the Spirit. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We're full of the Spirit. We yield to the Holy Spirit. And we're to be controlled by the Spirit. What a victorious life. We're not to be controlled by wine or drink or drugs or anything else. Excess will bring you under its influence. John chapter 7, please. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the Feast of Tabernacles it was, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Hey, you believe in me, you're going to be filled with the Spirit. There's going to be rivers of living water flowing out of you, giving life to people. Isn't that wonderful to be that vessel? "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." He says, this is the way it's going to be because you're going to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit once I'm gone from here. There are churches that don't even teach about the Holy Spirit. How can you have a victorious life if you're not continually teaching about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit? There are churches that don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. That's in the Bible, God's Word. There are people that say they believe in the Bible, but they really don't. They believe in parts of the Bible. There's a difference between someone saying, "I believe in the Bible," and "I believe in the whole Bible to be the inspired Word of God." In other words, they're taking parts they believe in. Things we're sharing today are the Bible. You see, I can be full of myself and controlled by myself and miss God's plan. So verse 18, be filled with the Spirit and not drunk with wine. Now Paul lists three things to show us we are controlled by the Spirit. First, we joyfully are speaking of the Lord. Secondly, we're thankful. And thirdly, we're submissive. God rules, in other words, not me. Verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A Spirit-filled Christian will be speaking of the Lord with joy. Melody in your heart. Because you love the Lord. When you love someone, you speak of them. You're joyful about them. We will be happy as we sing about Jesus and our Lord. Speaking to one another in psalms. Psalms inspired and written by David and others. We have the book of Psalms. It's all about God. Isn't that wonderful? And then hymns. Those are songs which are giving praise and worship to God. We have a lot of old hymns, and you could call some of the new songs new hymns. But they're giving praise and worship to God. And then spiritual songs, he says. Spiritual songs, those are songs which have a Christian theme. They have a spiritual theme. They talk about the Lord or what the Lord has done for you or how great he is. So there's just songs that aren't from the Psalms, and they're not hymns, and they're just spiritual songs with this Christian theme, how God has worked in your life, maybe. So first of all, you'll be joyfully speaking of the Lord. You know, and don't worry if you don't have a great voice, because it says we're making melody in your heart to the Lord. You don't have to say it through your lips. You can just sing to him in your heart. Oh, but I don't have a good voice. I don't know that I can sing to the Lord. Do it in your heart. God looks at the heart. Aren't you glad? And then the second thing is thanks, verse 20. Giving thanks to the Lord for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's inward and outward joy in these things. We should have inward joy and outward joy. You know, our happy hour should be our daily time of devotional. That's the Christian's happy hour. It's good to start it right in the morning and have your happy hour. And just go before the Lord and praise Him, bless Him, read the Word and pray. Daily time of devotional. You know, and it's free. It's great. Just have time with the Lord. As we went over last time, you can have an audience with the Lord right away. Isn't that great? And be happy about it. You know, and when we sing, it's from the heart and it's joyful, making melody in our heart. But then be thankful, giving thanks always for all things. Isn't that something? Giving thanks always for all things. Don't even think about it. Just do it. Because you start thinking about it, say, don't even think about it. Keep your mind on things above. Don't analyze. We overanalyze everything. The scriptures are pretty basic. You don't have to go to seminary or be theological or a theologian. They're very basic. They mean what they say. Just in the base mode. Give thanks always for all things to God. Well, I don't understand it, but He wants me to thank Him for this. Okay, God, I thank You for this. Maybe you can thank Him for getting you through it, or giving you strength, or giving you wisdom. Or at the end of it, see that He let you minister to someone else. There are things you go through that along the way you find out, well, you know, that brought me across this person. I got to share the Lord with them, and now they're saved. Is it worth it? It's worth it. Give thanks always for all things to God the Father, but do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, you can do this only because you have the Lord in your heart. But be thankful in your heart. It'll keep you and I from complaining. That's what stops us from complaining, being thankful. Did you ever complain and then see God work it out? Don't you feel bad? Oh, I should have never complained. I should have trusted God. See, and these things listed, again, are our choice. We discipline ourselves to do them or not, but it's wise to do them. Our part is to be controlled by the Spirit and understand the will of God. He's telling us right here what His will is. And the third action, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We need to submit to one another. Now, it doesn't mean there's someone over me with a whip and I'm okay, don't hurt me. This is a willful submission. In other words, we're not appearing above other people or oppressing other people or thinking anyone's beneath us, but we're respecting and honoring everyone. We can't say, my way's the right way and there's no other way. We want to be submissive. God commands us to be submissive. It helps us to understand what the will of the Lord is, because sometimes we might feel like, wow, I don't understand this situation or what this person's requiring and all, but maybe God has a plan in it all for you if He's put you in that position. See, God calls us to respect and honor one another. As soon as we put them down, we're placing ourselves above them. And it's very hypocritical, because I see all this complaining, and one side takes this route, and one side takes this route. As I look at all of that, I say, but realistically, everybody's hypocritical, because what they're complaining about, they do in another way in their life. And it always looks worse on other people. You're complaining about this person because they're that way. But if you look at your own life, you'll see along the way, well, you know what? I did that too. I'm no better. We need to respect and honor one another and listen to one another. God at times uses others to teach us. In submission, it's really covering, we need to be teachable. Well, how can they possibly teach me anything? They're an idiot. Do you ever feel like that? Well, look at your life. I've been an idiot too. I don't know about you. It rhymes. Bumper sticker. I've been an idiot too. I don't know about you. Maybe that'll heal our land. Everybody can say, amen. Like we're better? Submit to authority. Philippians 2, please, verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. It's having this lowliness of mind, this humility, we call it. Esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And this is really applying to Christians, but we should have that attitude. You know, that we should be caring about other people. I can't believe how many people don't care about other people. We need to care about other people. That's what God called. God says, love your enemies. If you're this Roman soldier asks you to go a mile, go two. People think that stuff's outdated, the Sermon on the Mount. It's not outdated. We need to esteem others, you know, above ourselves. And that's the mind we should have in us. And it goes on there in Philippians to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He went to the cross for me as while I was a sinner. He didn't say, I'm not going to do that. They're not on the right track. They don't love me. He did it for you and me while we were yet sinners. So he says, your example is Jesus Christ. Yeah, but you know, it's not the way the world is today. That's right. And I would say our world is in the worst condition it's ever been in. If we applied the principles of the Bible and God's teaching to our life, and we were humble and a light in the world, cared about other people, loved one another, and obeyed God's word and worshiped our God, there'd be no room for pride or arrogance. As Christians, we must learn submission. Submit to God, the Holy Spirit, and you'll know what the will of the Lord is. And next week, we get into submission of wives and husbands, and then of bosses and workers and all of that, because God has an order, and there's to be submission. No one's better than the other. There's just an order that God has. And if we, as we give into that, guess what? We're blessed. You and I will be at peace if we live this way. And just clear our minds, focus on the Lord, act the way He wants us to act, and flow with the Lord. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you sent your Son to die for us. Lord, teach us. Humble our hearts today. Control our minds. Help us to yield to the Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you. Look how you put up with us. As we look back at our life, our day, we can see where we are guilty at times. But for the grace of God, there go I as I watch other people. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your strength. We are not know-it-alls, but we want to be wise. Wisdom from above is what we need. We need you, Lord, to run our life. Thank you that there is a way to have peace on this earth. And it's in Jesus. And the more we yield to you, the more peaceful we are. I pray that all of us, as we receive communion today, would remember the humility of Jesus Christ, the Son of God with all power, spat upon, crowned with thorns, beaten, mocked, nailed on the cross, and staying on that cross for us. He's our example, Lord. Please help us to be good followers of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.